Hey friends, today I'm very thrilled to share some exciting news about my latest book, Positional Authority Ain't Leadership, Behavioral Science for Navigating Bullshit, Optimizing Performance, and Avoiding Ass Clownery. It's just been released and it's already soared to number one bestseller status across six categories on Amazon. It's a book that dives into how behavior analysis can revolutionize leadership, and it's packed with insights and strategies for navigating complex organizational dynamics. But I know what you're thinking. There are countless leadership books out there, right? What makes this one stand out? Well, it's not just about theories and abstract concepts. Positional Authority Ain't Leadership is about actionable, science-based tactics that address real-world challenges. So if you're looking for a guide that combines behavior analysis and organizational behavior management with practical, down-to-earth advice, Positional Authority Ain't Leadership is the book for you.
Welcome to the Thoughts and Rants of a Behavior Scientist Show. Hosted by Wall Street Journal and USA Today best-selling author, Dr. Pauly.
Hey folks, Dr. Pauly here again. Thanks for joining me on my Thoughts and Rants of a Behavior Scientist, where I will take a look at common issues or phenomena in our personal and professional lives and give you my thoughts, sometimes rant about it, and hopefully provide you with a practical solution or two. Today I want to talk to you about what to do if you are struggling in your relationship, and we've all been there. I was having a discussion with my son the other day about developing and maintaining relationships. And sometimes it ain't easy, so I told him, and it's not, you know this. But if you truly value that relationship, the effort is probably worth it. Relationships are an important part of life, from the casual acquaintance at work to our significant others. These relationships tend to ebb and flow. Just happens. When it comes to very meaningful relationships like one's significant other, issues that arise tend to negatively affect communication, problem solving, and reduce the frequency of the good interactions that you have with each other, and it kind of ends up having a snowball effect. It's not unusual for emotions tied to the relationship and our own personal history across our relationships to lead us to behave in ways that we later regret. We've all said and done things that we regret. Sometimes the issue stems from a lack of relationship skills. We're not taught this stuff a lot. We learn from others. And still on other times, the issue might be related to simply a lack of awareness, as people tend to be poor observers of their behavior, the impact of their behavior in the relationship, and the impact of the other person's behavior on their own behavior, right, on them. This includes their covert behavior as well, or those behaviors that only we can see, like our own thoughts, emotions, or bodily sensations. These behaviors, like the overt ones, right, and what people can see us do and say, serve some sort of purpose, function. Take feelings that we might label as depression. While others might not be able to see them, we certainly can. And we feel it, right? Depression is often linked to a set of context-related behaviors that are understandable given a person's history and current life circumstances, like where you've been and where you are now. You know, we tend to feel the way about it. Unfortunately, these behaviors that we engage in can be very unproductive, right? Again, behaviors that we think and the things that we actually do, those are all behaviors, because they lead us away from who and what we value, as they serve this kind of primitive escape or avoidance of function. Like, for example, the person who's mad in relationship might yell and blame the other person to get their point across. And they might. But while they might win that battle, ultimately, they end up losing the war, as the failure to engage in more productive behaviors, right, do what's right, communicate well, leads them further and further away from their partner, their significant others. Under these kind of conditions, that you know, that person, or you might have been there, I know I have, I might feel a sense of satisfaction because I won that argument. Wow. But what happens is we fail to notice that it might be a backward step, in many cases, many backward steps. So unfortunately, people kind of get stuck in a loop behaving this way because of the immediate outcome experience. Like, all right, I won that. I've proven my point. Let's move forward. You've learned your lesson. Well, again, we have to be we have to be understanding that there's a ripple effect to this. And just because you might win that simple discussion, that argument, get your point across, doesn't mean things are moving in the right direction. And if you're in the habit of this, right, this kind of habit of doing this or this rigid approach really chips away at the relationship and can actually result in less communication and interactions that are positive, because the very presence of the partner, which might be you, begins to just feel bad as it's been paired with something negative. You know, oh God, here we go again. I'm going to get lectured, or I'm going to get proven wrong, or yelled at, or whatever. So how do you fix this? Well, a very good start is for you to begin to become a better observer of your own behavior in the relationship and the short and long-term outcomes of this behavior. This means noticing the unwanted emotions and thoughts tied to a given situation, noticing how you behave towards your partner at the time they're being experienced, noticing how your partner responds and how you react to it. When you begin to notice your own thoughts and feelings, right, and link them to unproductive behaviors, you can see they might be precursors to the things that you don't want to do and say, because those things that you actually do and say in the past have moved you further away from the person you value. So if you can recognize this, this is a huge step. But noticing isn't enough. You must also figure out what you should commit to doing that would be more productive and serve to strengthen your relationship. So instead of yelling, as in the example above, it might be better that you commit to taking a deep breath and use I statements to express yourself, or use you statements to say, you seem to be feeling this way. When I say this, you seem to experience this. Or perhaps sometimes it's practicing forgiveness by just accepting that your partner said something to you that made you feel upset, but you respond in a more productive way. Or it might be teaching them at the right time, of course, because teaching when two people are arguing isn't such a good idea. It tends to not result in the outcomes that you want. You know, but you want to teach them more productive ways to communicate with you under different conditions. They might need to be taught. And they're not going to all of a sudden do it right away. It takes time to move from A to Z, right? We have to crawl before we can walk. And we have to walk before we can run. What you're looking for is incremental growth. A couple of behaviors to be mindful of that are universal to successfully communicating are, I have three of them. One, listen to your partner. Try to figure out the true meaning of what they're trying to say. Even the best communicators struggle across different conditions. So try to determine what it is that they're really trying to get across. Sometimes that requires being like a behavioral detective and looking at the past situations, what happened just before them and what happened in them, right? The behavior and what the consequences of those are. We call those the ABCs of the behavior, antecedent behavior consequence. And that allows you to start looking for patterns to figure out, well, what's really going on here? Number two, be honest about how you're feeling, but be mindful on how you communicate it. It's not about your intent. Remember that. It's about your impact. Sometimes you got to take these small steps or approximations to sharing how you feel if you've never done it before, so your intent is received as intended. Maybe the person's not ready for it yet because you've never spoken this way and it could be a shock to them. Remember, the person has their own history, so you must consider that and shape the communication from there. Small steps. And number three, pay attention to your body language and tone of voice. These micro behaviors, if you will, can communicate much to your partner or whoever relationship that you're in. It doesn't have to be a, you know, personal love affair or whatever. All these go for all relationships. Sometimes, right, your body language and tone of voice represent exactly what you intend, and other times it doesn't, and it's misinterpreted. But you have to be mindful. Even the slightest change in your tone of voice can completely alter how your communication is being received. Just like you, your partner is a product of their own experiential history. It can take time to unravel and commit to behaviors that compete with the unproductive ones, right? Well, I know I shouldn't do this, but what I need to do instead? When I say commit, it means that you have to engage in, figure out what you need to do, and then actually engage in the correct behavior, if you will, even in the presence of those unwanted thoughts and feelings. This is where it gets difficult. I'm pissed off, and I know I shouldn't say this, But I do because I need to itch that impulse. Well, that just further exasperates issues and moves you further away from your relationship that you value. Again, that's the toughest time, but usually when it's the most important, you might need to prepare your health self ahead of time. Visualize you doing it when you're mad. So during those moments, you must notice and accept how you're feeling and then engage in the very specific behaviors that you've determined to and you've committed to that are going to lead you towards the person you value. If you truly value that relationship, doing it will serve to strengthen the relationship, right? You might not get that immediate satisfaction in the moment, but over time, you will shape communication. Things will begin to get better. Now, you might think, I don't have time for that. Well, if you are thinking that, maybe you need to reevaluate how important the relationship is to you. Remember, relationships take effort. When the effort becomes greater than the positivity experience or associated with the relationship, one or both of the people will try to escape it. Sometimes you must take a step back and consider what it would be like to not have the relationship. Are you better with that person? Is the relationship providing synergy towards a shared commitment? Are you holding up your end of the relationship or perhaps expecting more from that person and giving less? Does the person recognize their own behaviors related to issues in the relationship? These are all things you should be mindful of beyond the immediate and aversive thoughts and emotions that are associated with, say, negative experiences like an argument. Remember, every relationship is different, and relationships serve different functions across different contexts. But what thing that stays the same, right, are the principles of human behavior, which the tips I provided to you before are grounded in. So good luck in your relationships, and I'll certainly be giving my thoughts and having rants on relationships again in the future. Take care.
Be well, and thank you for tuning in to the Thoughts and Rants of a Behavior Scientist show.